The Gentle Dentist continues to hear compliments from their patients.
I am so glad we found the Gentle Dentist. It is truly pain-free. Not just for me, but I'm so happy my children have had such a wonderful experience. They love the Smile Club.
I'm a business owner, so every minute of my time is valuable. I love that they are so respectful of my time.
The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. Call now. New patients receive a free sonic toothbrush with a cleaning and exam. Call 614-431-3311.
Hello and welcome to Stories from the Bunker, the weekly podcast where we look at the weird and the wonderful, the strange and the supernatural. With me, Robin, today are Martin.
Morning, Robin. How are things?
Fine, thank you, Martin. How are things with you?
Pretty good, pretty good. I've just eaten two cookies.
Two cookies. Double chocolate. He's on a high. He's on a high.
Yeah.
And as always, we've got Alex.
Hello there, Robin.
Hello
nice
there.
To be back.
You don't sound as enthusiastic as Martin does.
Oh, sorry, I'm a little bit tired, but I have no justification for being, but yeah.
Well, you dear listeners and watchers on YouTube can find this podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Audioboom, which has links to a whole host of other platforms, which are too many for me to name right now. But if you're listening to us, please do send us a review. Your thoughts matter, and we'd love to improve the podcast as much as we can. In fact, Martin, I think you've got someone's
I've got
review.
One on iTunes. So yeah. This really does help us out, move up the rankings, basically, and get more people to see the podcast. So this one is from Kaz Tesla, who said, the title is I Adore This Podcast, which is very kind.
Thank
nice.
You, Kaz.
Yeah.
And it says, every week I look forward to this and love discussing the ideas raised in the show with my wife.
Oh,
very nice.
Nice, isn't it?
Well, thank you, Kaz. We're glad that you and your wife both enjoy discussing the topics that we bring up. I mean, that is our main goal, really, is to provoke thought.
In fairness, he didn't specify that she enjoyed it. Just,
that's
he,
true.
He just spoke.
Disgusting.
Just Kaz enjoys it, yeah.
Fine, what's for dinner?
Yeah, is it true? Oh, that's a great review on iTunes. That's great. Or whatever it's called now, Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, I think that's the one.
Well, grown. But as always, Alex has prepared a deeper kind of story for us to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'll be looking at a news item, more current affairs, I think. And we'll be concluding with a quiz, which Martin has prepared.
I have, yeah. Should be interesting. Yeah, hopefully not too difficult, I don't think.
Okay.
Famous last words.
Famous last
That's
words,
That's
good.
Yeah. I'm not feeling particularly confident today. I mean, I know I said it again last week, but...
The reigning champ. The reigning champ, yeah.
What's the term, sandbagging?
Is that it?
Yeah,
is that
what it is? Where you claim that you're not as good as you are. But I think it's a term the boxers use sometimes, where they...
Possibly.
Just make sure you're worse, and then when you get into it, then you fight better. Yeah.
I've heard of teabagging, but I'm pretty sure that's not what
Alex is doing.
Something
slightly
right
different,
now.
Maybe.
But what's your topic, Alex? What are you going to talk?
So today, I wanted to talk about the Bunga Bunga sex scandal.
Oh, yes.
Oh, nice one. Berlusconi,
right?
Is that right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Silvio Berlusconi.
Yeah.
And we have talked about it on the channel years and years ago.
Many years ago.
But also, the reason why I bring this up now, I don't know if you've seen in the news... But this was recently in the news for a tragic and mysterious reason.
Oh, no.
I thought you were going to say that you weren't involved.
I wasn't involved.
I'm not involved in the scandal.
Just want to, point that out now. I wasn't involved.
Come on to clear your name. Yep.
Never been invited to one of Berlusconi's Bunga Bunga parties.
But my email can be found in the description below.
So basically, in 2009, the Italian Prime Minister, Silvio Berlusconi, who had recently been elected for his third term in office... found his premiership engulfed in a sex scandal that had him accused of paying for sex with a minor.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that. I don't remember that bit.
It sounds pretty fun until you say the word minor, and then it gets kind of weird.
But I guess the... Yeah, I mean...
Yes.
Well, yes, yes. No but there at all. But... Oh, God damn it. the question is whether he kind of knew about it, I guess. But then that doesn't matter.
Oh, right.
That's often a defense used, isn't it?
Yeah. I didn't know
how old
she was. Yeah.
It's like, well,
she said she was 18.
Found out.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Same year, 2009, his wife of 19 years, again, I'm really sorry about how I'm going to pronounce these names because I'm going to butcher all of these names that come up. Veronica Lario. Sounds okay,
right. I think you got away with that one. Yeah.
Filed for divorce and publicly accused her husband of consorting with minors after he attended the 18th birthday party of an aspiring TV actress and model called Naomi Letizia.
What is he doing there?
That sounds dodgy.
But also,
18-year-old's birthday party.
But also, he apparently...
How old is he? Like, he was about 60 at the time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But also, she points out that he missed his own son's 18th birthday party. Not to go to this one, but he went to this random 18-year-old girl's birthday party and didn't go to his own son's 18th birthday.
His motivations were pure and honourable. Yeah.
Well, Berlusconi said that the young woman was the daughter of a friend and that he had done nothing inappropriate. And Naomi and her family also said there was nothing improper about him going to the party.
Okay. All right, carry on.
But, I mean, it's a strange thing to do, and it kind of adds to the evidence. That same year, Patricia Daddario alleged she and other girls were paid to attend parties at Berlusconi's residence. Berlusconi denied the claim, telling his weekly magazine Chi, "I never understood where the satisfaction is when you're missing the pleasure of conquest." Which is a really weird, creepy thing to say.
That's a strange way of putting it.
So basically, they said that he invited all these girls over to have parties at his place, and he was like, he paid them to come and party at his place. And his response to that...
was the thrill of the chase, basically.
And his response was, no, I don't do that. I don't understand why someone would enjoy that. I like the thrill of the chase.
Yeah.
Which is... You can just say no.
Yeah, no, I didn't do it. Yeah.
He also joked about how unlikely it is that a man his age would be capable of the sexual feats some have claimed. I'm 74 years old, and even though I may be a bit of a rascal, 33 girls in 2 months seems to me a bit too much, even for a 30-year-old. Is what that's a quote that he said, which is an interesting way to
it's
deal
not
with
a denial, is
a sex
it? That,
scandal.
That's just, I didn't kill 50 people in 2 months.
That's a little bit much for even a 30-year-old.
I don't like blood. Yeah. it's an odd one. It's an odd way of putting it.
It's not
a
denial.
He's trying to make light of it. That's the thing, isn't it? It's clear that he's thinking, how can I get out of this?
Yeah,
if I make light of it, people will think it's so ridiculous that it couldn't have happened, basically.
Definitely playing the lad card there. Just like, it's just jokes, guys. Just jokes.
Yeah, and I think you... I guess maybe it's... I'm going to say it's like, different over there in Italy and that, like, sex scandals and all that. It's interesting how that doesn't seem to affect politicians as much as it does in, like, you know, over here and in America and that kind of thing. But actually, you know, same thing's happening in America, I guess.
It very much depends on who the politician is.
Absolutely.
I feel like the more minor they are, the more susceptible they are to a sex scandal, right? Is my impression. Whereas the bigger the fish they are, the more they can kind of like brush it off.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think also the premier in a particular country, or the elite, if in the UK the cabinet, would have to be seen to be doing something to rid that from their party to give it a better image.
Yeah.
Whereas when it is the right at the top of the party, that same rule doesn't really apply, does it?
No.
Yeah, that's true. But despite all of his denials, the evidence of his impropriety was compelling. Prosecutors presented a 389-page document to the court where they alleged that Berlusconi paid scores of young women to attend bunga bunga parties, which... apparently Berlusconi called them to do this bunga bunga, which apparently is an African sex ritual, which is where the name comes from.
Okay.
Right.
Apparently.
Okay. Yeah.
And anyway, that's the kind of the term that this became known as in Italian media and that kind of thing, his bunga bunga parties. And they apparently used what they say are phone interceptions of young women as evidence. And so the prosecutors said that the women performed strip teases and erotic actions in exchange for money and gifts. And then he responded to these accusations by saying, "It's better to be fond of beautiful girls than to be gay," which...
Oh, wow.
Again, interesting form of defense. But even more seriously, he was accused of paying for sex with a 17-year-old Moroccan belly dancer called Karima El Maroug, known as Ruby the Heart Stealer. Which is a weird nickname to have as a 17-year-old. But then,
how many hearts have you stolen by the time you're 17?
Yeah.
Lots of old men's hearts. Ugh. That's why they've all got transplants.
Bypass.
Nice. That's
good. I think I've
got that one. No, leave it in.
Oh, dear.
He was also charged with abuse of power because prosecutors say he phoned a police station where... this girl, Ruby, was being held on theft charges. Apparently, she stole $3,000 or 3,000 euros rather in goods. And he phoned a police station to have her released. So there was kind of abuse of power there as well. However, Ruby denied having sex with the Prime Minister. It's Prime Minister, isn't it? It's President?
Prime Minister.
Ruby has denied having sex with the Prime Minister. Both admit that he gave her money, although they say it was an act of kindness to help her. However, it was later discovered through wiretaps that he paid her 5 million euros to keep quiet.
Whoa.
So.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Mad. Yeah, where was that money from?
Yeah. And what was it for? Although, may I interject and just say, compared to more recent similar hush money paid by leaders of state, it's quite generous.
Well, I mean, you know, unlike whoever you may be referring to, Berlusconi is at least a billionaire, so...
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You know, tangibly, we know that Berlusconi is worth a billionaire. Yeah. Trump could be, but he certainly won't prove it.
Hey, who mentioned Trump? I wasn't talking about Trump.
Yeah, so, I mean, Berlusconi can afford it, I guess. But also, among these scandals, now this is crazy to me. At this point, it's like he doesn't even care. He's also rewarded some of these women with government positions. So he made a former topless model equal opportunities minister.
Oh, yeah.
And he also appointed unqualified actresses and models to the European Parliament.
That is insane. That is insane, isn't it?
That is pretty mad.
He also named Michaela Vittoria Brambilla, who hosted a television show about sexy nightclubs, as Undersecretary of Tourism. So, I mean, I guess that kind of makes a tiny bit of sense. She knows the best places for tourists to go if they're after sexy nightclubs. So, And Nicole Minetti, a dental hygienist, also formerly on one of his channels, is now a regional councillor for the Lombardy region. So, yeah.
I understand that people do change jobs. You want a wide range of people in governmental positions, but it seems like acquaintances and cronies are taking the positions.
There's definitely some nepotism there anyway.
Yeah, there's a pattern there, and it's a specific kind of nepotism. It's attractive young female friends.
Yes.
Who have television experience. It's tempting to make a joke that, you know...
Which I'm going to now do.
Yeah. Your average politician isn't necessarily the best qualified person for the role that they inhabit.
Oh, yeah, most of the time.
Yeah. You know, so it doesn't make a difference if you happen to blatantly appoint someone who definitely isn't qualified. But at the same time, there's a definite kind of line that he seems to have crossed.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
That's very true. And the women all defended the appointment, saying that they're up to the job. And Berlusconi agreed, saying that all the women were talented and critics are just envious. So
Of being in the position.
Envious of having that kind of relationship where you just get given a job by the Prime Minister, I guess.
Quick aside.
Carry on.
I was going to say, does this make him one of the best equal opportunities employers? In history.
employing women.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Definitely not for the right reasons.
Yeah.
I'd say.
That's a thought, isn't it? Yeah.
So this kind of doesn't relate to any more that like what he did. But I was reading this, and so the founder of the women's movement, if not now, when? Or... Yeah, I'm not going to try and pronounce it in Italian, but that's what it is in English. So,
Se
non ora, quando?
Sounds about
quite
right.
Good.
I'm sure there'll be an Italian at home pulling it
around. So yeah, the founder of this organization, Nicoletta Dentico, she said that, this was in 2011, nowhere else in the world would a prime minister who is enveloped in these type of scandals remain in place. It reflects the type of pathology that exists in this country. We have a democracy, but evidently it is not properly functioning. And I just wanted to ask what you think about that. This is from the lens of 2011, bearing in mind we're in 2019 now. Do you think that's we're in a better place, or do you reckon that that's...
It's spooky how familiar her words sound.
Exactly, right.
The last couple of years.
I mean, that's why I included it, yeah.
Yeah. Talking of Italy in particular, I mean, they've got a history of corruption at the top level of government. So,
Have they improved?
maybe since the earlier 20th century, I'm sure. Yeah. But how much is still up to debate, isn't it? They've got the they've definitely got the outer appearance, the veneer of a Western democracy, a Western European democracy. Do, yeah. But whether that's actually functioning, it's probably the question. I still think in certain regions, the mafia, if you will, are still very much alive and functioning, aren't they?
And Berlusconi himself had controversy in that regard as well, where he was accused of being involved in the mafia and that kind of thing. I admittedly don't know too much about that kind of that scandal that he was involved in. But
what we were saying last week about if you're a high up politician, you're probably going to know some people. Who are connections to you who are also involved in some shady activity when we talked about the bodies on the tracks so I wouldn't be surprised if he knows some people. Plus how has he made his billions? I don't actually know.
It was TV, wasn't it?
TV. He's a media mogul, so he's got loads of investments in sports. He owns AC Milan, I think.
Well, they've had some issues in the past with
the mafia, I think.
He owns AC Milan, and he owns loads of TV channels and investments and finance and business as well.
He's a billionaire media mogul in Italy who's also prime minister. He's almost definitely got mafia connections, even if they're unwitting. He's got them.
I'm following on from that discussion. So a psychiatrist, professor and author, Massimo Faggioli, says the reason Italians tolerate Berlusconi can be found in history. Like you say, Italy has this history going back of corrupt politicians. And he says where absolute rulers who appear to act above the law are a recurring theme. Italians have a tendency to shrug off these type of scandals because they say he has the money, he can do whatever he wants. And interestingly, he points this at and says it's a Catholic mentality and says that, and like, Italians go by the kind of motto of sin at night and confess in the morning. What do you think about that?
Interesting, because obviously Rome, which is the heart of the Catholic Church, or rather the Vatican City, which is the heart of the Catholic Church, is in Rome, in the capital of Italy. So there's a kind of logic to that. It's such a Catholic country, the centre of Catholicism around the world. That's for, 2,000 years now? That's got to have... a profound kind of psychological effect on the culture. Is he trying to imply, sorry, whoever made this statement?
So he's a psychiatrist, professor and author, Massimo Faggioli, who I've definitely mispronounced that name.
I'm not trying to absolve Berlusconi and his cronies of anything, but are they trying to say that the Catholic mentality of forgiveness, the virtue of forgiveness, in Christianity in general, but particularly in Catholicism, is that kind of a good thing?
Yes, it's interesting. I think it's more they're prepared to, like, the Catholic Church obviously has links to, has vast amounts of wealth and that kind of thing. I guess maybe he's thinking it's the idea that you can just pay your way to forgiveness as opposed to pure forgiveness.
Mm. Right.
Like, you can just, he's rich, so he can do what he wants kind of thing. Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, that's a universal attitude, isn't it? A global thing.
So bringing it back to the story and Berlusconi, essentially on June 24th, 2013, he was sentenced to 7 years in prison for paying a minor for sex. So he was found guilty.
Good.
He was also found guilty. An extra 4 years of prison time was added to that sentence. And he was banned from politics for 6 years.
Banned politics for six.
Yeah. And that was for embezzlement and €62 million in tax fraud. So
Surely you shouldn't then be... there should be a lifetime ban,
No, but
you can't be back in a few years' time.
But also, it gets worse. So those 4 years, three of them were pardoned. And then also, because he's over 70, he doesn't actually have to go into jail.
Is that a law just in general in Italy?
I mean, that's what it said. So I assume so.
Weird.
So he carried
when
out...
I'm 70, I'm going to kill everyone.
So he carried out a year of unpaid community service instead.
Entire sentence got commuted to that?
Yeah.
He was not picking up litter, was he? He wasn't doing anything.
He wasn't doing anything.
Not even house arrest. for six or seven years. I don't think
he's basically let off, and they said he's doing community service.
Yeah.
He showed up, waved at a community center.
That is outrageous.
Yeah. Anyway, this isn't the end of the story. So that's, imagine a big time gap. That's the end of this whole, the scandal's been put to rest. But now, just this last week, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, actually.
Yeah.
Italian magistrates last week opened an investigation into the possible murder of Imane Fadil, a Moroccan model who was a regular guest at Silvio Berlusconi's parties.
Oh.
And she testified in 2012 against the former prime minister, who was accused at the time of paying for sex with an underage girl. And she died. Also, it was the 1st of March that she died, a month after being admitted to a hospital in Milan with severe stomach pains. And a few days before, she told friends and her lawyer that she had been poisoned.
Whoa.
Okay, so we don't know who by.
We don't know who by.
Okay. But is there any more news on that?
Yeah.
Or is that how it ends?
So magistrates have ordered an autopsy on her body, but it's yet to be carried out.
Even though she died on March the 1st? About 20 days ago.
Yeah, it hasn't been carried out yet.
Tampering.
Hasn't been carried out, but the first tests on her internal organs appear to exclude the presence of radioactive substances. So if there was poison in there, it was a different form of poison.
It wasn't using
radioactive poison.
So it wasn't the Russians.
So they've ruled that out.
Basically.
But she had repeatedly told friends and relatives she was scared someone wanted to kill her, and she said, "I'm still paying dearly for my testimony at the trial against Berlusconi." So she said that in an interview with La Repubblica a few days before being admitted to hospital.
Oh, blimey.
It's pretty messed up. And Berlusconi has commented on this lady's death, and he said, "It's always a pity when a young person dies. I never met this person, never talked to her."
So, it's always a pity, not a tragedy, it's a pity. Yeah. Pity.
It's always a pity.
And, plus I've never spoken to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though she's at my parties.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's denying that fact. Yeah. But yeah.
I suppose you didn't have to speak to her at the parties, but you definitely saw her.
So in 2012, Fadil told the court that one of the parties at the former prime minister's home involved young women dressed as nuns and stripping off while performing pole dances. So, yeah.
And the home of Catholicism.
They started to dance like the nuns in the film Sister Act, and then they took off their clothes, she said.
I don't think I've seen the whole of Sister Act, but from my point, aren't they just like...
Clapping, yeah.
Clapping and moving. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's the start of the dance, Martin.
Maybe Sister Act 2 is different.
It gets weirder. So at another party, a woman stripped for Berlusconi wearing a mask with the face of the footballer Ronaldinho.
What? I feel weird.
Yeah.
This is getting weirder. Ronaldinho, do you know, you guys know Ronaldinho
right? I know, yeah.
Like, not being harsh to the bloke, but he's...
Yeah.
I didn't even know you'd be able to get a mask of him.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, of all the footballers, not the one I'd want to imagine on a woman's body.
Yeah. Weird.
So last Tuesday, during the latest hearing on the ongoing trial in Milan, Berlusconi's lawyer said in the courtroom that the death of Imane harmed the defence of the former prime minister. Apparently she was writing a book about her experiences, and magistrates had obtained a copy of the manuscript after her death.
Sorry, the woman who was killed, who died.
Yeah, she was writing a book, an expose
about her
book
with Berlusconi.
Yeah,
but she's still writing it, even though she was worried about being killed. Weird. Okay.
Mm.
Well, that's it. Maybe. Mm. I mean, like, she did that interview with La Repubblica shortly before she was admitted to hospital.
So maybe they got wind that she was writing the book and thought, okay, if this is going to come out, we need to stop it happening. But sure, if anything, that draws more attention. Like, people who release books after they die. In these circumstances.
Yeah, definitely. So
people will be more interested more than ever.
I mean, not going to lie, like, we probably wouldn't be discussing it right now and, like, dragged up this old case if this hadn't have happened.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, yeah, it's definitely mysterious. But the magistrates now have that copy of the book that she was writing. Right, so who knows? Yeah. These details may still come out.
I'm interested to see how Berlusconi's defence tries to discredit what she's written.
Yeah.
Because obviously they'll presumably say, oh, you can't trust it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, there's that old adage, isn't there, about political scandals. Like, it's never the original crime, it's the cover-up that gets you jailed or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, that was true in this case because they initially didn't convict him because they couldn't prove that he knew she was underage. But he was convicted, I think, for bribing them to keep quiet.
Yeah.
And that's what got him. So yeah, it's the cover up, isn't it?
Good point.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, he still faced no repercussions essentially, did he?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
But it's mysterious and still ongoing, so we'll see how it develops and if any more information comes out.
Do you think he'll ever be punished properly?
No.
I'd be very surprised.
I don't think so.
I'd be very surprised. I was going to say, before you mentioned that he was let out without any repercussions from his 7-year jail sentence, I was going to say that I found it strange that he was convicted in the first place.
Yeah.
And he was sentenced. Because I was imagining that he would be... I didn't know he was... He was convicted for that long. I knew he'd had to spend some time. I was surprised that it was 7 years, although of course he didn't serve it. But surprised that he was given that even in the first place.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
It's pretty shocking. Pretty shocking. And he's intending to run for European Parliament this year, I think. So
May the 23rd. That's when the European elections are, right?
Yeah. I don't know if he still is or if. I mean, that was his intention. But I don't know if he still is or what he's doing these days.
Whenever someone makes a comment along the lines of there's one law for everyone and another law for the lawmakers, this is the kind of instance where you think, yep, that's true.
There's no better example.
Yeah.
And also having money, you look at, in football recently, there's been a whole host of footballers and managers who have been indicted in tax evasion crimes,
right?
But none of them are ever sentenced to any time in jail. They always just pay a bit of a fine, which is a minute amount compared to compared to how much they've actually evaded.
Yeah,
and then they just take it from there.
Yeah, you could look at Paul Manafort as well in America.
Yeah,
it was recommended that he received 19 years in prison.
That's the minimum recommendation for which he was found guilty.
Yeah, for the crime that he was found guilty. The prosecution themselves asked for 5 years, and he got 4 years. not even the prosecution wanted that.
Yeah. It's madness.
And then I guess it just opens up to the wider conversation about, as you say, about one rule for one and another for elites. Talking about white-collar versus blue-collar crime and the injustice of it's easier to prosecute and jail someone who is basically a nobody than someone who has connections and money.
Yeah,
it's easier just to find them and give them less time. They've got better lawyers. They have the financial means to be able to pay their way as well.
Yeah.
If they have to pay a fine, that's easy to do.
That's true.
I think there's also going to be more media attention around high profile figures, and a lot of lawmakers and judges don't necessarily want that spotlight.
Yeah.
I think that suddenly you come under scrutiny for the decision you've made.
Right. So they feel the pressure.
I think sometimes it's easier just to not. And then maybe in some cases there is a financial incentive or some kind of incentive for judges not to prosecute those who are in positions of power.
Yeah.
Mm.
Especially in Italy, when you think about Berlusconi and links potentially with organised crime, you're like, is it worth my while actually prosecuting this person and putting them in jail? It's like, you see with El Chapo when he was caught bumping off basically a whole jury and judges in the past, and it's like, you do not want to be on the jury of that case in the future. It's easier if you give them a fine or community service. Might work for you down the line. Let's just say,
if I was called up to jury service for and I found out the crime was El Chapo, El Chapo was the defendant, I'd try and get out of that one, I think. Right, what's next? Do you have a news story, Robert?
I do, but I thought we might look at some YouTube comments first.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Before we do, I think I'd like to announce that in the coming weeks, we will be changing the name of our channel. This is particularly relevant to our YouTube viewers, because, as you know, we are known as All Time Conspiracies, and we have been since the beginning, back in 2013.
Yes.
A long time ago. But we made a podcast recently in response to YouTube's decision to crack down on fake news and conspiracy theories. And what they've been doing is basically blocking anyone with conspiracy or conspiracy theory in their metadata, you know, their search terms and their tags and their titles, from suggested traffic. And so it's made it very, very hard for channels like ours to reach new audiences and even to reach our existing audience in some cases. And of course, that has a fairly profound financial effect on our channel, which, given that we do this for a living, it'd be quite nice to keep doing it the way we do. So we're going to change the name to something that will allow us to avoid YouTube's... I'm trying to look for a nice word that won't insult YouTube for this.
Yeah, no. I think what you've said is fair enough. It's just basically making the content isn't going to change or change drastically or anything like that. Yeah. We'll be doing the same stuff, the same strands, and in fact, introducing new, hopefully, increasingly interesting strands going forward as well.
Yeah.
So we'll have more content coming out on the channel.
We've got some things in the pipeline that hopefully you will all enjoy.
Exactly. So it's more of a bit of a revamp and making sure that we're kind of fitting in within those guidelines because we have to, not necessarily because we want to. As we say, the content's not going to suddenly, be creating different content.
It's something that we've definitely noticed on the channel as well. Like we can look at graphs and tangibly show that
The date.
There's the date YouTube just flicked a switch kind of thing.
It's painfully obvious on that.
Unfortunately.
So it's got to be done. Hopefully, well, we want to kind of bring it out to the audience about what the name's going to be. So in the upcoming weeks, we'll probably let you guys know maybe of some options, potentially.
Maybe not. Yeah.
You know?
We're still mulling over it, to be honest. We haven't picked a name yet, but we will be changing the name of the channel. So point is, we wanted to let you know and want to let you know why we're doing it. It's not, and like Martin said, channel itself is not going to change. It's just going to be the name. But we also wanted to... let you know that if suddenly you can't find all-time conspiracies one day, it's not because we've disappeared.
Unless the the mafia's got to us. Berlusconi really didn't like this podcast.
Yeah, true.
Can you hear that? What's that noise?
Yeah.
That'll be all right. But yes, sorry.
I was just going to say, if you did have any really great suggestions, then feel free to put them in the comments email them to us.
Stories from the Bunker was submitted by a user.
It was. The name of this very podcast was decided by you guys and suggested, like Martin says, by one of you. So that's great.
Can't remember who. So
I know. I'm really sorry about that. But speaking of those comments, shall we have a look at this week's favorite YouTube comments?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So GPD784 says, I like to think that these guys are actually mass murderers themselves. They remind me of very polite very polite psychopaths.
He likes to think that we're murderers.
Sounds like GPD might be one himself or herself.
Like to think of us as sociopaths or psychopaths.
Yeah. I mean, there's something appealing about that Hannibal Lecter or Dexter type, polite, charming guy who's secretly.
Is that?
In reality, I think the thought of that is probably better than the reality. When you look at someone like Ted Bundy, then it's like, oh, good looking chap, really charming and sophisticated. No, he's just an absolute
psycho.
I mean, they didn't say that, Martin. They just said that we're just very polite.
Yeah.
Didn't say we were good looking. I think I'm flattered.
It's a very nice comment in a way.
I don't know why we're psychopaths, but fine. Yeah.
Just to say, we are denying that.
Yes.
Yeah, we're just...
A bit like Berlusconi, we're denying it. full disclosure there.
But if we're not... if you're not a psychopath, Robin, then MJ seems to think you're a robot. He says, notice how they... this was on the last podcast.
Right.
Notice how they had to prompt Robin to eat and enjoy his donut, # robot Robin. Which, please, let's get that hashtag going. I love it.
Wow.
In fact, we put the outtakes of that donut scenario up on the Patreon, didn't we?
Oh,
didn't
yeah, we did. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, good. But yeah, no, I thought that was funny. You want to deny that as well?
I'm not a robot.
I'm definitely can eat on my own.
Okay.
There's no denial there.
Nobody. No. His name's just Nobody.
Oh, that's
mysterious.
A name. Right, okay. Nobody, yeah.
Nobody says, I love listening to the podcast while trying to catch shoplifters at work.
This wow. is my favourite comment of the week. Does that aid catching shoplifters? I'd like to know. Back at Nobody.
Just hearing our voices and then bam, there's one.
Please, Nobody, tell us. Does it actually help you to catch the shoplifters?
Yeah. I mean, that's an odd thought, isn't it?
Yeah. It's nice to know what you guys are doing whilst you're listening to us.
Oh, maybe not.
Okay.
What do you do?
I'm not sure I want to know what GPD 784 is doing.
I assume that most people, it would be like either at work if they're doing something fairly, you know, one track.
Yeah,
listening to us in the background.
Commuting. That's where I listen to the All Time Gaming podcast, for instance.
That's true, yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Commuting. Shout out there to the All Time Gaming guys. Their podcast is very good.
It's very good. Yeah. Better than ours.
Hey. Yeah, don't tell them that. They get big head. Or the gym. Imagine that. Getting your pump on whilst you're listening to us talk about.
Yeah, okay. I would be very surprised if anyone listens to us in the gym, because we must surely be anathema to energy.
yeah, maybe.
Oh, that's great. Yeah,
maybe we should have some like banging track in the background throughout the whole thing, so you can't hear us at all.
Yeah,
I like it.
Whispering
like
voices, pounding track.
Yeah. Sounds like some real '90s kind of Euro. Trash electronica there. Whispering voices with a thump.
Maybe we should do like a section of the podcast where we, I don't know, just for people listening to us in the gym, where we just like give gentle encouragement. Come on, you can do this. Yeah. Give me 8 more reps.
We could get everyone fitter by having a segment on each one that's just like 5-minute circuit training, bang in the middle. So it's like, listen to the podcast, 5-minute circuit training while you're catching your shoplifters or while you're driving.
And this would be the most out of place segment in any podcast.
Did you ever listen to Arnold Schwarzenegger's workout gym album?
I didn't know.
No, did,
from
did
like
you?
Early 90s or late 80s.
It's on YouTube?
Like before he was a major star. Yeah, it's all on YouTube.
Okay.
It's absolutely amazing. I find it quite motivational, I have to say. You can do it. Lift those legs higher.
Yeah, I've seen a clip of this.
It's
but I think
so
it was
good.
I think it was memeified.
Right. Yeah, well, the whole album is there. But yeah, I'd like to talk about another news story.
A bit more
current, and I'd love to know what you guys think about this, because it's one of those stories where I reacted to it one way at the beginning, and by the end of it, I had a completely different reaction. So it's quite provocative.
Okay.
So it's a recent thing about road safety.
This
is a headline.
I saw this
today, actually. Did you read the article, or did you just see the headline?
No. Okay. I saw the headline.
Yeah. So the headline led to my first reaction, which is from 2022, all vehicles sold in Europe must have speed limiting technology installed. And this technology is specifically called Intelligent Speed Assistance, or ISA.
Actually, I read a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. I read a little bit.
So you know a bit.
There was the. Yeah, I'll carry on.
That's fine, That's good. The more you know, the less I have to say.
Speak over you and spoil the whole thing.
So that's right. So the gist of it is that this ISA, or Intelligent Speed Assistance, is technology that will enable emergency braking and speed limiting, so that using GPS, which, as you know, anyone who uses GPS to find destinations to help them travel in a car... Already, sat-nav, that's the one. Thank you. I was like, I cannot remember the word. Sat-nav. Anyone who uses sat-nav knows that it can identify the speed limits on roads that you're driving on. And basically, they want to use that technology to tell cars where they are and what the speed limit is, so that drivers cannot go above the speed limit.
Mm.
Which, there are already cars out there. There are several manufacturers, including Ford, I think, who have this technology in their cars. And... cruise control works like this. You basically set it to a speed, and it'll, especially with new technology, it'll not go above the speed limit for that zone. But the technology, you can get around it simply by hitting the accelerator. It's not like you're not able to go above the speed limit. It's just
push it a bit faster, don't you?
You just have to. You have to make a conscious decision to exceed the speed limit. Is basically the purpose of this technology. Anyway, so this is going to be mandatory, a law in Europe. From 2022, having just been agreed and approved by the EU, the European Union, which Britain possibly may be leaving. And the interesting part of this news story, well, one of the interesting parts of this news story, sorry, is that Britain has announced it will also adopt this system from 2022 simultaneously with the EU, despite the fact we're probably leaving. So,
but our sovereignty, Robin.
For anyone that didn't hear that, Alex said, "Our sovereignty, Robin."
It's a So that's I don't need to explain it. Carry on, please.
Well, it's part of a plan, a whole raft of laws and legislations and schemes the EU is looking at in order to reduce road deaths to zero by 2050. And this particular part of the plan is working on the theory that. Most road accidents, well, in fact, all road accidents are human error. And short of having self-driving cars, the best way to mitigate accidents is to reduce speeding. And the best way to reduce speeding is to have this kind of automated system. But there's another thing that they've just approved as well, which is installing black boxes in cars, which, incidentally, car insurance companies are very fond of.
I'd want
Yeah.
So a black box,
down.
Exactly. Just like with, they already have it. Some people, it's optional, isn't it, at the moment?
But it can reduce your bill significantly.
Your insurance goes down if you have a black box installed. I'd be interested to see. This is one of the things I thought about. When black boxes become mandatory and everybody has to have them, will insurance premiums go down across the board? Yeah. I feel like they won't. But anyway. So yeah, black box, just like on planes, will record everything you do. So if you're involved in an accident, insurance companies and the police will be able to look at your black box and say, well, you weren't speeding, you changed gear at a normal place and you turned in the right way, so you didn't do anything wrong, you weren't to blame. The other person, oh, you were speeding, so it's your fault.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, that's the theory behind the black boxes. Of course, if both people did nothing wrong, then they can say, oh, it was just an accident. And then insurance companies will pay out everything, hopefully. And the police will be like, yeah, we're not charging anybody with anything. So actually, I think that's a good idea. Black boxes.
Yeah.
Sounds relatively sensible.
I think there's probably only so much a black box can tell you, though, right?
Yeah.
They wouldn't be able to tell you whether the driver was at fault for not seeing something.
Yeah.
So my guess is that when there's a serious collision or even fatal collision, when the police properly get involved, then it'll be, okay, this person was traveling way over the speed limit, so regardless of whose fault it was, it was dangerous driving.
Yeah,
I imagine.
No, well, this is the thing. There are several questions I'd like to ask you both, if I may ask them all at once and get your responses. In terms of individual rights, so you just raised a point, which is some people are afraid that installing black boxes and installing speed limiters will lead to a black and white scenario where all the police will do is look at the black box and say, oh, you were exceeding the speed limit, and because of the speed limiters, we know that you made a conscious decision to exceed the speed limit, because the only way to exceed the speed limit with your speed limiter on is to press the accelerator. So you made a decision to do that, therefore you're to blame. Whereas, of course, some people are afraid that, hey, you're on the motorway, you're speeding by a couple of miles, you know, just to overtake somebody, or just because you're in a rush home at rush hour, you know, why? That's okay. Everybody does it. It just so happens that I was doing nothing that nobody else doesn't do, and this idiot who happened to be obeying all the laws pulled out at the wrong time. But because the black box says I was speeding, I'm to blame. So people are afraid that there'll be a kind of black and white judgment that, you know, they'll get blamed just because they happen to be speeding in this scenario when actually everybody does it anyway. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Well, sometimes it can be safer to if someone pulls out in front of you, you might need to accelerate over the speed limit in order to avoid an accident.
True,
that does happen sometimes.
All the time,
Or if like a car is changing lanes into your lane, but they don't see you in your lane, it's helpful to accelerate just so that they can see that you're there.
Yeah. It might be a mile or two over the speed limit, but
I'd be interesting, because I'm not I'm not big into driving, but it'd be interesting to see what the response is like. Is it instantaneous still? Like, so the limiter's on, but then you hit the acceleration and then you go forward.
I don't know, actually. Martin, do you know?
Yeah.
you're more into cars than I am.
In terms of, so what was the question? Is so it like, instantaneous when you hit the accelerator?
The instant, is it instantaneous to like the decision to, right, I want to exceed the speed
on
limiter?
On the speed limiter, yeah. As soon as you hit the accelerator, does it go, or is there like a delay where it kind of...
In general, when you're driving?
No,
well, I guess I guess we don't know, right? Because are these these speed limiters haven't come into effect?
There are a few manufacturers who are already doing it.
The insurance one I had literally measures the way you drive in terms of how erratic you are in terms of braking, and if you're going over the speed limit. So then they can judge from that whether you're likely to be someone who is going to cause an accident, and then they adjust your insurance. As a result.
So currently,
I don't know about this. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know. Not
so
sure.
just to answer your question, Alex, Ford, Mercedes-Benz, Peugeot, Citroen, Renault, and Volvo already have this ISA technology built into their cars. I don't know if it's mandatory or optional. Like you have it installed, but it might be that like you have to turn it on. Whereas the difference will be from 2022. It's always turned on because it has to be. Which has led to another response, which I'd like your thoughts on, if you don't mind. Some people are obviously concerned that the technology isn't up to snuff. And even by 2022, which is just, what, 3 years away, 2 years away, the technology won't be good enough to really make it safe. And other people are concerned that the technology will make people worse drivers.
Because they're relying on...
Yeah, I could, I definitely could understand that. And actually, I guess the point that I was like getting at is sometimes in those situations, you do need to accelerate and overtake the speed limit. Like if you need to get out of a potentially dangerous situation. And if it's not instantaneous, if the technology isn't up up to stuff, then you're putting them in more danger than if they there was no speed limiter at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that they're working. All these companies are working incredibly hard to make sure it is.
And if it isn't,
it will be delayed.
Also, what about like all the millions of cars on the road that don't have this technology? Are they just banned?
This
after 2022.
I assume it's
a grace period, surely.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say there's a word for it that, anything released onto the roads from 2022 onwards has to have it.
Yes.
Right. And all the old models will still exist. But that's a good point. Will there be a horrible kind of crossover period for a couple of decades where people with older cars suffer in comparison to people with this new technology?
Yeah.
Or will people with new technology, will they be penalized because either the technology isn't responsive enough that they can avoid accidents by speeding, or... they get penalized in the case of accidents because they've got the technology that records what they do and the other people don't, so they can more easily argue that, hey, it wasn't my fault. I don't know, this is pure speculation on my part.
In regards to the technology, I think it will be up to scratch, a bit like cruise control, where you can just override it. But what it's doing is, I think it's probably what it'll affect most is people who don't realize they're going over the speed limit. You know, they have their foot down, they're kind of watching the road, and before you know it, they're up to 85, 90 miles per hour. And it's like, it will stop people from doing that. So you won't get these people just going that fast without. And then, of course, from the police's point of view, they'll have more backing evidence, as it were, that people people have committed speeding offenses. Yeah. I mean, not only are they going really fast, but they don't have any excuse to. It's like a very conscious effort to speed. People have to have a very conscious decision to speed. If it does save lives, as this report suggests, that can only be a good thing. Like yes, I've gone over the speed limit, of course we all have, but I'm not someone who wants to get everywhere ridiculously quickly and speeds all the time. So I don't really care. Like I prefer everyone to be a bit safer. That's good. I know that a lot of people will be a little bit concerned. They'll say, oh, EU bringing in these regulations. There'll be that brigade. What do you think about that? Like that overarching that we're being... Of course, you're not meant to speed, but the fact that people don't have that conscious decision to be able to, regardless, some people will still argue that that is a limitation of some sort of freedom.
Well, I mean, like, this is my my random yell earlier was about we're doing it as well, so we can't really blame the EU when we're adopting it willingly. It's just, if it's a good policy, it's a good policy, right?
Sovereignty.
But I mean, it does make sense. I was having this conversation earlier actually with Alex Jones, not that Alex Jones, but from Alex Jones from All Time Gaming. Second shout out today. And he
loves Anata.
I was basically saying, I hate to use the the phrase, but do you think that this is kind of a slippery slope of like where this is going to go? Like this is, so there's this limiter at the moment that can be switched off, but do you think down the line they will switch off that ability to you know, to switch it off? And then from there, will this just lead to the kind of increasing automation in cars until eventually none of us actually own cars and it's just automated cars roaming the streets like in an Uber service?
Was this another Alex Jones post-apocalyptic dystopian future?
I mean, that, to be honest, that sounds, it's one of those things where, is it dystopian? Because that sounds ideal to me. That sounds great.
The way you phrased it was interesting. Slippery slope. Everyone has said we want self-driving cars. Every single company is making really self-driving cars.
Yep.
And every single scientist, every single vision of the future is like, what we want by 2050 is every vehicle to be self-driving. Mm. And ideally, everybody to be ride-sharing rather than actually having their own vehicles.
Yeah.
And those ride-shares will be automated and driven by computer.
Mm.
And it'll be safer, more efficient, and but just as mobile and independent. So I'm intrigued that you phrase that as it's a slippery slope towards a dark future.
Was that your phrasing?
Well, I think the reason why I'm saying slippery slope, because what Alex Jones was saying was that people wouldn't be able to drive a car, as in that would be against the law for anyone to drive a car. And people like driving. People do like driving.
Yeah.
So do you think this is a slippery slope to the point where people wouldn't be able to ever drive a car? And do you think it's like a right that people have to drive a car?
I'm confident for once in capitalism.
Yeah.
There will always be a market for people who want off-road vehicles that they can go driving around in the country, and that won't work for automation. Obviously, there'll be a certain amount of automation in those cars, and GPS enables so much, but those cars will be manual and they will exist. So everyone will still be able to choose. It might be that there'll be major networks, kind of arteries of roads that go through towns and up and down the country, the big highways that you can't drive manual on just for safety and consistency. Everything has to be automated. But I mean, that's not really a problem to me. I don't know. I don't see why. If anyone has to drive, like I'm going to drive the length of the United States, it's a 10-hour drive or something.
And it's a lot longer than that.
Yeah, it's a lot longer than that. But yeah, I mean, before you stop, let's say, 10-hour drive before you take a break, I would be completely fine if the law has changed by 2050 that says you can't do that unless you're in an automatic car, because the driver's going to fall asleep or make a mistake at some point.
Okay, yeah. I mean, yeah, there's always going to be some kind of manual override on most cars. You'd think so, just because you get to a wedding and they say, oh, park in that field, example.
Yeah.
Good point.
What do you do then?
Good point.
But I mean, apparently they're talking about not doing that at all, like at some point in the future, where the cars don't even have steering wheels. They don't even have the ability to. It's just, it's all, I think some of the proposals are basically, like ride sharing. No one actually owns a car.
Yeah.
There's no car parks anywhere. It's just like a service like Uber with all these automated vehicles that just roam the streets.
Yeah.
And if you want one, you can just like call one like a taxi and it picks you up and then tells you where to go, and then you get out. So like in that scenario, I'll go and park in that field. It wouldn't do that. It would just drive off, and then they would just keep, these cars would just keep circulating.
Right, okay.
So there would never be a situation where any car would be parked.
What if you needed to be over the other side of the field?
Why would you need that?
Because the wedding's over the other side of the field, Alex.
Yeah.
Well, you can drive over there.
I need to get there. I've got my stuff in the back.
You can tell it to take
the wedding band. I've got my drum kit in the back.
No,
you can tell it to take you there, but then it will drive off.
Stop.
I believe you both. I think, Alex, you're right. That's probably where we're headed in a kind of societal sense. But I have every confidence that will always be car manufacturers and companies that appreciate people want steering wheels and want to be able to drive manually.
Yeah.
And as long as there's a market for something, we'll do it. That's how it works.
And personal property as well. Yeah. In terms of personal property rights.
Yeah.
Looking at you, USA. Yeah. there's always you think of the car companies as well, that you can imagine a situation where if everything's automated and it's an Uber like service, you very quickly could get a monopoly.
Definitely. Yeah.
Very quickly, like whoever provides that best service of automated cars will just dominate the market, and no one else will exist.
Yeah.
Mm.
So you think that competition would, in some sense, still remain alive, and maybe that is by still having manual and automatic
offering the alternative. It happens in every industry. there'll be victims, there'll be companies that fail, and there'll be a time maybe where you can't get what you want. But I mean, like, it's just like computers. You can get computers that are dirt cheap and offer you nothing, or you can spend a lot of money, several thousand pounds, and get a computer that has literally everything. Mm. Because there'll always be a manufacturer that's like, there's a gap in the market, we're going to put everything in there, even if we've got the legal requirements. But the law's not going to ban steering wheels.
Mm.
And if they, I mean, simply for the fact that the people who are making the law in this case are probably politicians who have very fancy cars, you know,
it's true.
Who probably like driving.
Yeah.
And therefore will be like, I'm not going to ban steering wheel.
That means all classic cars will be banned. That's not
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, all those car collectors.
Yeah, exactly. What? Well, it was suddenly illegal, getting crushed.
I don't want to drop a minute, but Jones, I was arguing in like the same argument that you were saying. Like, they will never get banned.
Jonesy has these amazing.
But Jonesy is convinced.
He also thinks that I know that with a few announcements of online gaming streaming services, that he's been thinking that gaming will be streaming. Who thinks that all games will be streaming in the next couple of years? It's like no.
Yeah, I mean, definitely in the future, all games will be streamed.
Yes,
I think. Yeah,
but the time scale, some of the implications are quite funny. But that's why he's so good on the All Time Gaming podcast. That's why. Yeah. So if you do have a chance to listen, do go over there and have a listen. We are fans, right?
We are fans. Yeah. Sorry, that turned to a right discussion, didn't it?
It did.
Martin, you've got a quiz for
us. I've got a quiz.
Whoop whoop whoop.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Quiz time.
I'm the quiz master today. So,
who are you, quiz master?
Buzzers.
Mm.
Alex, what have you got for your buzzer?
I've gone for the classic
Aurora Borealis.
At this time of day.
This time of year.
Very good. And Robinho.
Slightly slower, but.
Nice.
Very good.
Any Dragnet fans might recognise that.
Over my head.
Yep, there you go.
So as I said, I've got 9 questions, and then I've got a 10th question which has 5 parts.
Okay.
Whoa.
Nice. So
14 points up for grabs.
Well, I was thinking maybe the 10th question could be whoever gets the most. But when we come to it, we'll see how we're looking.
Yeah.
So if I'm winning too much, then we'll give Robin a chance with the extra points.
Okay. Oh, well, I could either way.
See how it is.
For the record, Alex is still undefeated champion.
This year, which is insane.
This year. It's going to eventually happen, but not today.
I feel like it could be today.
You say that every time. Okay.
Okay, good to go.
Okay. No.
Question.
The thing is, I actually get nervous every single time for the quiz.
It's building up. That tension's building up.
No,
it's
going to
be a relief
reputation.
When you finally lose.
No, you have to.
For you, not us. Question number one. What is the name of the gaming streaming service announced by Google this week?
Aurora Borealis.
Stadia?
Correct. Yeah. Google Stadia. Well done. 1-0. So that is Google's streaming service. What do you think of Google's new streaming service? I mean, they're making some bold predictions.
To be honest, I don't know much about it. I know it exists, or they've announced it, but that's about it.
Yeah.
They say what? They said like 4K, 60 frames per second about being
streaming.
And that's that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, are people going to have the bandwidth and the connectivity to be able to do that?
To be honest, 60 frames on YouTube doesn't work very well on mine. It looks really weird.
It could be in 4K or 8K. It's like, what? Mm. What are you talking about? It's exciting. The prospect, I think, is exciting.
Yeah.
But in terms of like the infrastructure we have in place,
I'm interested to see how it works, but I'm very skeptical. It's definitely one of those things I'm going to wait till it comes out, see what people think of it, if it's viable. And then,
but it is Google.
I was going to say, if anyone can do it, it's Google.
Yeah.
Right? So,
but then
how much is it going to cost? Do we know?
I'm not sure yet.
They haven't released prices. Okay. But Google do have a tendency, though, to start a project, like work on it for a couple of years, and then just kind of sideline it. And
true, they've done that in the past.
Glass.
Glass, fiber.
Fiber.
Google Fiber, yeah, the internet service they
actual
had.
Actual fiber optic cables and stuff.
I think so, yeah. It was...
I do not remember that at all.
They were trialing it in different states in the US, but then, they didn't pursue it anymore.
Yeah. And it's interesting that Apple have announced something. I didn't actually see the press conference, but something maybe similar, Apple Arcade, I don't know if it's similar. But it seems like that is the way gaming is going. So we'll see. Apple. We shall see.
Mm.
Okay, question number two.
Okay.
What number do you get when you multiply the number of legs a bee has with the number of legs an ant has?
Aurora Borealis.
Robin was there first.
Wait a minute. What was the question? No. maths. This is good. I can do this. 36?
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say 36.
36, so 6 Phew. And 6.
I will point out that Robin didn't actually know the answer. He was buying time. Yeah. When he buzzed
I did know the answer. I knew it was 6 times 6. It just took me a while to get to know what the answer was.
Okay, one all. Question number three.
Yeah.
This one's closest wins.
Okay.
How long is the longest beard ever recorded?
Ooh.
The longest beard. In any kind of measurement? What are you talking?
I've got it in meters and feet.
Okay. I was going to say 12 meters.
Okay.
12 meters is a lot.
Aurora Borealis.
I'm going to say 10 meters.
It's 5 meters 33 or 17 foot 6.
So close.
I probably shouldn't have said feet or meters. That kind of, it gives you quite a expand. Yeah. Like,
That's
crazy though. 17 foot long beard.
Yeah, that's pretty mad.
Three adult humans.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's
a point to Alex. Okay. Yeah.
Just 2-1 to Alex.
Cheeky bagger.
Okay.
Oh, no. Wait a second.
Question number four. Today, it could have been yesterday. Today, Rockland County in New York has banned what from public spaces, deeming it a risk to public safety?
Oh.
What have they banned from public spaces?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen this in the news.
No, this is news to me.
It's banned what from public spaces?
A risk to public safety.
Segways.
No.
Oh.
One guess each and they'll give us a clue.
Aurora Borealis.
Is it flash mobs?
It's not.
Okay.
Health and safety.
Vaping?
No.
Oh.
That's
good guess though.
Health and safety. They've banned it from
public spaces.
Cancer.
Health and safety.
Aurora Borealis.
breastfeeding?
No, that'd be mental.
That would be mad.
That would be really mental.
I don't. Yeah.
It's
but it's got to be newsworthy.
It's unvaccinated children.
Oh, right.
They've banned unvaccinated children from public spaces because there's a measles outbreak.
Okay.
I did see that.
I mean, it sounds authoritarian because it is, but I'm okay with that. However, from a logistical point of view,
how do you do that?
You've got policemen checking the arms of every child.
Yeah, it's mad.
An injection scar. What's that about?
Yeah, that's mad.
That's really dumb.
But hey. There we go.
Okay.
So 2-1 still. Okay. If alive today, who would be older? Martin Luther King Jr.
Okay.
Or, he is alive today, Sean Connery.
Aurora Borealis.
I'm going to go for Martin Luther King Jr.
Who'd be older, Martin Luther King Jr.
Do I get a guess on that?
Yeah, you both have a guess. Both have a guess.
Okay.
Because then you can choose the same or different or whatever.
Well, I would have guessed the same.
It is Martin Luther King Jr. Yeah. So Martin Luther King Jr. was born on January 1929, and Sean Connery was August 1930. So
closer
than I thought. Wow. Yeah. I thought there was a few years between. Mm.
Yeah. So we both get a point.
Both get a point.
Oh,
The buzzers were redundant there. Yeah. Okay,
no. You definitely got that.
When there's two options, I feel it's harsh to.
Yeah. No, it's fair. Okay, fine. No, it's okay. We're both.
It's still 3-2 to you.
Yeah.
Okay, this next one. I'm going to, when you buzz in, I'm going to give you alternate chances to answer because there's three answers. Whoever gets the most right answers wins. It'll make sense when I say the question.
Right, okay.
This week, a Channel 5 doc listed the top 20 crisps according to the British public. There's kind of outrage about what made the list. My favourite is Brannigan's. They made the list. Yeah. Fantastic. Can you name the top three?
Aurora Borealis.
So can I answer as many as I can?
So if you answer one alternately, and then whoever gets the most right, or two.
So Pringles were number one, ridiculously.
That's one of the top three. Yeah. Robin?
Doritos is the other one.
Yeah.
Walkers.
Correct. 2-1.
Was it all Walkers?
Yeah.
I thought it was
Walkers. Okay. Yeah. Well done, Alex.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well
done.
So that's 4-2.
That ridiculous. Really bloody ridiculous. Pringles aren't even crisps.
What do you mean they aren't? They are crisps.
They are crisps.
The majority
they're just not the, top. They're not top
the majority
10.
Of their ingredients aren't potato, so
starch.
Yeah.
Well, what do you call those root vegetable crisps? You know, made of.
The Tyrrell's ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vegetables.
But then you can say. but then what's its crisps? They're corn based snacks. Is every corn based snack Doritos?
Yeah, good point.
Okay, fine. You've snookered me there.
At least they have some potato in. There's a bit of.
Okay. Yeah. I take it back. It was a silly comment. I've just born out of rage.
There were some odd ones on the list though. Like number seven was Golden Wonders. I don't think they've been made since the '80s.
Yeah, no, they're still around, but yeah, who?
They're not very good though.
The bottom tier of popular crisps were all kids crisps, like Monster Munch and stuff like that.
Yeah, Nick Nacks.
Yeah,
Nick Nacks, Monster Munch.
Well, here's why I was confused by the Walkers thing, because bottom tier had squares.
I like squares.
You know squares?
I sometimes get them in the meal deal.
Yeah, but they're made by Walkers. So when you said Walkers,
yeah,
I was
but
a bit
but
like,
Walkers
which
was quite
Walkers
weirdly.
Are they
it
talking
like,
about? Yeah.
It was like Walkers. Actual like Walkers collection. Then there was like Walkers Sensations or something different.
Yeah.
And then like, because like loads of crisps are made by Walkers. Like
yeah,
Monster
they make
Munch
they're
are
the biggest.
Like, what's its all right?
I think so. No, they're Golden Wonder, aren't they?
I don't know. I don't know crisps. Yeah.
But there might be. Much. That's the thing, like because Walkers bought a bunch. So like Smith's crisps,
yes.
Which are the ones where you have little salt.
They're now
sachet.
Pretty much all Walkers, aren't they?
Yeah, they're owned by Walkers. Even though they had their own category, which is a bit weird.
For everyone at home, what's its are a British? They're British, right? Yeah, what's its are a British crisp?
They're the equivalent of
cheese puffs,
like cheese puffs, like Cheeto kind of
Cheetos. Yeah.
Cheetos,
and Walkers are like Lay's, right? Lay's and
Lay's, yeah.
Is that the same? Walkers, yeah. What's its? As are Quavers.
There you go.
Mad.
Mental. Anyway, 4-2. Well done.
Thank you
to Alex.
Is it 4? He'd have 2 points from that one, right?
No, it was just for the...
Or if you want to... So 2-1, you can go for that. That makes sense.
Oh, right. I thought you were awarding 2 points and 1 point. But 1 point for getting two correct.
Yeah.
Oh,
so whoever got more out of
the
three.
That works. 4-2 is fine.
4-2.
Yeah. 4-2 is fine.
Same or it can be 5-3 if you like.
It's the same difference. Let's go 4-2.
Okay. Next question. I can't remember what question this is, but I think it might be 6 or 7.
Yeah.
What is the collective name for a group of camels?
Aurora Borealis.
It's
three.
No.
Two.
It's
one. Robin, do you have any ideas? You can.
Sorry, I shouldn't have buzzed in. That's my bad.
No.
I was overzealous.
Fine.
I do know this. It's,
I actually want to know if you can remember.
You would have heard of it. You would have both. Heard
I feel
it.
Like it's one of those facts I know I've heard, but I don't remember. Yeah, remember it. I could just, I'd say.
I know
our
audience is probably screaming at us.
Yeah.
It's a.
Maybe rightly.
Are we talking dromedaries or.
What's it? What's it called?
Do you guys want a clue?
Yeah, go on.
No, I want to see if he remembers. I'm enjoying this far too much.
Okay, you've got another 15 seconds, and then I'll give a clue.
It's quite a lot. 10
seconds. Stop it. Stop talking. I can get this. I genuinely have it. It's a caravan.
Correct.
There you go.
Caravan of camels.
Yeah,
yes.
I do know that one.
Caravan of camels, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I prefer Caravan of Courage with the Ewoks.
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Yes, that's 5-2.
Yeah.
5-2.
It's 5-2. I don't mind losing that point. That was just so much. That was just too good. That was too good.
At a certain point, I've lost all dignity.
Robin, you may well get this one. In rugby union, my favourite sport, how many points for a converted try?
Aurora Borealis.
Alex?
Yeah,
I don't know this. Is it 5?
No.
Oh.
It is 7.
Correct. Well done, Robin.
Yeah, I got a point.
Yay.
5-3.
Converted try. 5 points for a try, but if you convert it with the kick, you had to get 2 more points.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 7. So you almost there.
Not sure what you're converting it into, but, you know.
Yeah,
more points.
You got to try. Convert it into a succeed.
Yes. Yes. Very good. Very good. That's 5-3. Okay.
Final question, right?
There's two. There's one more question. Then there's the five parts.
Oh, okay.
I hate it when it's this tense.
Okay.
Which former U.S. president said, "Those who dare to fail miserably can achieve greatly."
Ooh, that's a good line.
Is yours just going from the end to the beginning?
I reckon it's an early one. Is it Abraham Lincoln?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. And now he's put doubts in my mind. I was going to say Teddy Roosevelt.
Nope.
But I bet it's way early, isn't it?
What was the line again? Can we hear it again? Those who
dare to fail miserably can achieve greatly.
Aurora Borealis.
Is it JFK?
Correct.
Really?
Is it? JFK. Wow. Yeah.
Damn it.
JFK.
That does sound like a JFK thing to say. Yeah.
Those who dare to fail miserably can achieve greatly. Yeah.
Is that the same speech as like we dare to do the other thing? Not because it is easy, but because it is hard.
Do you know what it reminded me of, actually? Why I suddenly thought of JFK?
Pingu.
No.
Sorry, what?
Our channel trailer.
Oh, yeah.
It's got a quote from JFK in it. It sounded very similar to that line.
He definitely had the best speeches. JFK speeches were the best.
They're right out there.
They were right out there.
Plus, they were televised, which helps.
Yeah, that helps. True. But, like, they were just beautiful pieces of prose. Like, after Abraham Lincoln, who wins not only because his speeches were the best, but they were also meaningful, and he wrote them himself, which is freaking amazing. JFK could deliver them, but, you know, we had speechwriters.
Yeah, of course.
But, I mean, JFK's speeches are, like, along with Abraham Lincoln, that's the way a president should speak. It's pretty awesome.
It's very profound, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's motivational, but also responsible and indicative of policy.
Yes.
You know, it's like, this is what we're going to do. This is why you've got to join in with me to do it.
Yeah, I mean, does history look favourably on him because of what happened?
Oh, undoubtedly. He's a martyr.
Do you think people look at the speeches and maybe make more of them in hindsight?
I don't know.
Is that unfair?
There's a similar thing, if I may interrupt, Alex.
You may not.
Obama's early speeches had a similar kind of cultural effect. People were like, yeah, wow, that's amazing, with a really strong message. Not as eloquent as JFK, but, you know, like, yes, we can is a pretty strong message.
And
you're right. Obama had a similar kind of like hype around him. And then 8 years later, everyone was a bit disillusioned and like, yeah, didn't live up to his speeches.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true.
If he got taken out, it'd probably be a different story.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's 6-3. So now we have, okay, the way I'm going to do this last question is basically the topic is original or cover. So you have to say whether the song is an original song or whether it's actually a cover of a previous act.
Nice. I'm going to be terrible at this.
So the way I'm going to it's not going to be five points for getting them all right.
Okay.
It's going to be that whoever gets the most right, you get scored on the ones you get right. So if Robin, if you get 5 right and Alex gets 1 right, then it'll be 5-1.
Oh, so we'll each get a guess.
Yes.
And then whoever's right. Yeah. Oh, okay. I like
it. Okay.
That's my
chance. So what I could do is
6-3. Yeah,
I could totally copy Robin.
You could do,
and then good, just
but we're
win.
Gonna, but we're going to alternate who goes first.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, that would be a good tactic, though. Yeah. So we're not buzzing for this one.
No, not buzzing. Okay. We'll go, Alex.
Just for good measure, though. Just had to get it one
always
more time.
There. Always
one
more there. Time. Okay. Original cover. The first one is Iron Maiden, "Run to the Hills." Alex, original or cover?
That's a good song. I'm gonna say original.
Okay, Robin.
I would have said original, but I'm gonna say cover.
It's an original.
Darn.
Unlucky. You thought you had to take
had
the
to go
risk.
Differently. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good one though for thinking. Like I was thinking, it could have been one of those covers of like super early, something super early. Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
It would have been a Led Zepp song, I think, if it hadn't been Iron Maiden.
Yeah. Could have been. Wasn't. Okay, number two. So, Robin, is Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You an original or a cover?
See, whatever I say, he's going to copy me. So,
no, I'm not.
I'm going to say it's a cover.
I'm going to say it's a cover as well. I was thinking it was a cover as well.
Who is it by, Alex?
Someone super early. I don't know. That's not part of the question, Robin.
I'm going to say Dolly Parton.
It was Dolly Parton, 1974.
Thank you very much.
There we go. No bonus points, I'm afraid.
moral victory.
I can't remember what the score is. It doesn't really matter.
2-1.
In this, yeah.
In this one, but then you've got 6-3. Okay.
Number three, Alex.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lou Bega, Mambo Number 5, original or cover?
That's an absolute original, 100%.
Robin.
Interesting that, yeah, because obviously he added his own lyrics, but yeah, it's a cover.
It is a cover.
Yeah. Oh, what?
Perez Prado, 1949.
Yeah.
He jazzed it up a little bit, but the outline for it, it was made some 50 years earlier.
What I love about that is that Lou Bega then copied that exact song
several times over.
Yes.
1 + 1 = 2 is exactly the same.
Yeah.
Can I just say, with pure sincerity and without irony and without joking, that Perez Prado's Mambo Number 8 is fantastic.
Yeah, it is good.
Much better than Mambo Number 5.
Okay. Okay.
I'm embarrassed now.
So what's that, 2-2 in this one?
Yeah.
Franz Ferdinand, Take Me Out. Original or cover?
Original?
It sounds like I'm copying Robin, but I genuinely think that's an original.
It is. Yeah. Original. Woo. Yep. It is. 2004? Is that?
Yeah, must have been something like that. Yeah.
And the last one, The Beatles, Twist and Shout. Original or cover? Alex.
Oh, we're drawing now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Oh. Original.
Cover.
It was a cover.
No!
By the Top Notes, who wrote it in 1961, and then the Beatles released it in 1963.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
So Robin,
crazy.
Because that's like one of their like iconic, fairly early songs, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
They got them really...
It's been covered since by Bruce Springsteen.
Yes.
Mm. I love that. Bruce Springsteen... Like, I think Paul McCartney was there, and Bruce Springsteen was inspired by the Beatles, and this live performance is just like, Paul McCartney's in the audience, he's going to join me on stage, you know, the Beatles were my biggest influence, we're going to do Twist and Shout. It's like, that's a cover. That wasn't theirs.
Oh, well done, Robin, on that. Alex,
thank you.
Again, you need to be beaten.
Well, next week... Well, it won't be next week, because next week I think I'll be doing a quiz for you guys. Yeah,
so... So well done, Alex, and thank you all for listening and for watching, and especially a big thanks to our new patrons who are fantastic.
Mm.
And there's so many of them. I want to read out your names, but I'm going to have to. I can't do it from memory. So thank you to Kelly Bray, Adam Hall, Matt Graves, Stephen Tienal. Sorry, apologies if I've mispronounced anyone's names. Matthew Kukanik. I think that's how you say that name. Andy Shepherd, Nathaniel Orr, Brian Paradis, and Michael Beddo, who, just have to say this, is giving us $6.66 a month.
Oh, wow.
I hope you don't mind us saying that, Michael, but that's just a fantastic number. So so thank you.
Number of the beast. Love it.
But yeah. So, and thank you to all of our other long-standing patrons whose names will be on screen. We can't read you all out because we don't have all day, but you're wonderful people, and all your support keeps us going, especially through these difficult times. And
we're actually we are revamping our Patreon to give you guys basically more stuff.
That's true.
That's the idea. So
that's the idea. Yeah.
In the next few weeks, keep an eye open, and there'll be some new tiers, some new rewards, and just a bit more content. I know at the moment, after this, we're going to shoot our Patreon exclusive discussion as well.
Are indeed.
Yep.
So head on over there if you haven't already and check it out. I think for $1 a month, I think it is. You can get
basic level support.
It does really help us out. And thanks to all of you guys for watching and supporting. And no worries if you're not supporting. You know, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, thank you for watching. Definitely. Yeah,
cool.
See you next time.
Goodbye.
See you next time, guys.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key.
and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.